Hello and welcome to another episode of Forkful of Noodles. I'm Krish Mohan. The nuclear family was the American dream after World War II. Dating back to 1947, this was defined as a social group characterized by common residence, economic cooperation, and reproduction. It contains adults of both sexes, at least two of whom maintain a socially approved sexual relationship, and one or more children owned or adopted of sexually cohabiting adults. And for 1947, it's not that bad. You know, at least it doesn't say anything too misogynistic or racist. I mean, not outright anyway, you know. And the fact that it even talks about sex is pretty huge, since women in the 40s weren't allowed to show their wrists or ankles or elbows. And yes, it's slightly homophobic, but in the 40s, they didn't know that gender or sexuality could exist on a spectrum. I mean, they just got the color spectrum figured out, and they were too worried about the Manhattan Project to care about social reforms. Basically, a nuclear family is a mom, a dad, two obedient kids, a dog, two cars, and a white picket fence. It's what we're told to strive for, and it's the dream because it's meant to keep us asleep from the realities of what was to come, entering into wars that were failures, systemic racism and discrimination, and societal mistrust and judgments. But as long as you had your nuclear family, things were a-okay. But this isn't what this country was built on at all. You know, the white picket fence is basically meant to keep your bullshit in and others out. The minute you step out of your front door, it's all peaches and sunshine. Domestic issues are meant to be kept in the bedroom and sometimes the parlor, and the kitchen is where the roast is made. And we don't even trust our neighbors unless we're waving to them while we're mowing the lawn or trying to borrow a cup of sugar. And you can't even trust that, because what if the sugar is actually flour, or worse yet, cocaine? Won't someone think of the children and the baked goods? And the children, these obedient kids are just zombies that don't know how to think or address problems unless their parents, or worse yet, God tells them to. The two cars in your driveway have increased the carbon footprint, and a dog has isolated cat people, and they're all moving into the cities. Look, I'm a dog guy. I like the city. Okay, there's life and culture, and because of this nuclear family idea, the city is overrun with feral cats, litter boxes, and hairballs. The nuclear family means that your kids leave the nest and go build their own families with the same idea in mind. It's about independence, and that kind of makes sense, right? This country was built on leaving its parents' home in England and trying to make it on its own. Imperialism is the helicopter parents of power structures.
Ugh, Mom, England! Why, get out of my room! I'm trying to hang out with Canada right now. We got some really cool stuff from Mexico, so just chill out about it. Okay, why can't you be like Papa France and Uncle Portugal?
The idea of the nuclear family is considered the norm, and if you're not living it, then you should be shamed, cast out of society, and into the woods to go live with wolves, with their socialist, coddling lifestyles. Which, honestly, might not even be that bad. I mean, Mowgli turned out to be just fine. You know, he was an open-minded teen that hung out with a panther and a bear, two completely different species of animals that were able to live in harmony because of the lessons they learned from the wolves. At this point, the nuclear family, the American nightmare that it brings along with it, isn't the only family structure that's out there. According to Flowing Data's Nathan Yao, in 2014, there were over 10,000 different types of family structures in the States, which is also the minimum amount of dollars that these families are probably going into debt after trying to attempt a nuclear status. And that's exactly where we are today. You know, the idea of the isolationist independent family structure isn't where the American family is headed, because of how the higher education system cons emotional teenagers into high tuitions for 4 years with the promise of a $1 million job and cheeky sexual exploits with hot twins. Most graduates have to live at home with their parents. And because of modern science and increase in wine popularity, old people are living longer and longer. They are raising the price of dates, prunes, and fiber bars all across the land. And with most of their finances thrown into regulating their bowels, they don't have a place to live. Assisted living communities are expensive and a breeding ground for boner pill abuse and STDs. And with these higher debts and lower paying jobs for the youth and well-regulated bowels for the elderly, a common family structure is the multi-generational household. And this is the case for about 60 million Americans. Now, sure, this could lead to some issues at first. You know, some heated words between grandchild and grandparent. The phrase, back in my day, used far too liberally for a conservative. But when things cool down a little bit, both parties can start learning from each other, empathize with each other, drink each other's liquor, and the grandparent is probably going to drink the grandchild under the table. Bathtub gin is pretty potent, and it's a sneaky drunk. It's speaking from experience. Traditional multi-generational households are patriarchal, but as social rules evolve, so do family structures. And some households are matriarchal, and others are run by the youngest member in their family because they have a better emotional maturity than their parents do. And regardless of what it is, a multi-generational family encourages different ideologies and perspectives to cohabitate under one roof. Like a small-scale version of what this country probably should be. Which is also the case with shared homes, which have also been on the rise. Since large homes are incredibly expensive and it's way easier to live with people that aren't your genetic family under one roof, this is a very popular style of living for a lot of people these days. And it's not just happening with houses, it's happening with apartments and lofts and condos. And at this point, it's not just college roommates that wanted to continue the sisterhood of the traveling sorority, it's people of all backgrounds. In a modern shared home, you can have a 70-year-old spinster with two cats, an artsy hippie in their 20s, and a set of twins in their 30s that are both chefs. Sure, one of them works for Taco Bell and the other one for a gourmet Mexican restaurant, but they are chefs in their own regard, okay? It takes a lot of skill and effort to make Taco Bell look and feel like real food. And this is the non-sexy type of twins, you perverts, okay? The boy-girl type. This changes the way we define family. Families are no longer bound by just their genetic material, but through a commonality of community and support. Shared homes are creating their own sisterhood of the traveling sorority, and you don't even have to be a sister anymore. The idea is evolving what the definition of a nuclear family. Something a bit more stable, like a noble gas family. Which is also what your new housemate might call their vaporizer. Or their butts. Shared homes are also about redemption. It's about a fresh start with a group of people who share a common goal of living with another group of people and contributing to a household. The fact that you may have kissed your twin at a college party doesn't matter to anybody, and it shouldn't, okay? They're just jealous that you lived out their fantasy to kiss someone that kind of looks like them. Shared homes are also the middle ground between the isolationism of the nuclear family and the hyperconnectivity of a multi-generational home. You live with different people that don't share your genetics, and you can get close with them and become part of a community. It's like college, minus the testing and the frat house ass paddling. You get a great blend of alone time and being with your tribe. It's also just a natural way of living. We're tribal creatures. We're primates. And most primates are social creatures, moving and growing in troops and tribes. I wouldn't be surprised if a shared living situation was the reason that we commandeered the top of the food chain. Saying the only family option is a nuclear one is to give in to the idea that we need to keep to ourselves and be stuck with the lack of social progress. It's a lot of pressure to keep up appearances in a family structure that only pretends to be a part of the community. A well-manicured lawn is a sign of a troubled home. The dad is stressed out, the mom's bottling up her emotions, and the kids are just sexually repressed. So everyone just comes out, mows the lawn, and plants some flowers. It's the only form of escapism they have, since most TV shows portray families and want us to think that the nuclear family should be perfect and cheeky and have at least 9 laughs per minute. And the rest of television is just Big Bang Theory spin-offs. The nuclear family is about pushing your kids out the door and hoping that they figure it out. We're basically saying they should go live with the wolves for a little while, and then when they come back and start hanging out with bears and panthers, it's a problem. And bringing them back into your home means that the dream is broken, but reality can be better than dreams. Because when one thing goes awry in these very hyper-specific dreams, they become nightmares. Rather than continue to sleep, we gotta wake up and start living our lives with each other instead of just hiding in our homes. That's how cat people are made. That's been your Forkful of Noodles for this week. Thank you so much for tuning in. If you enjoyed this video, please share it with your friends, your enemies, whoever you'd like to share it with. I have live stand-up comedy shows coming up in Chicago, Illinois, Ames, Iowa, Kansas City, Kansas, St. Louis, Missouri, Cape Girardeau, Missouri, Des Moines, Iowa, Muncie, Indiana, and I'm also going to be back in Indianapolis, Indiana, doing the Indie Fringe from August 17th to the 27th. For details on all of those, you can go to ramennoodlescomedy.com. I am also releasing my new hour of stand-up comedy called Approaching Happiness. It's an hour that goes into breaking stigma surrounding mental health, immigration, gun reform, drug reform, and all that kind of fun stuff. You can pre-order it right now at my Bandcamp, which is ramennoodlescomedy.bandcamp.com. That's R-A-M-A-N noodlescomedy.bandcamp.com. While you're there, you can also subscribe to get exclusive unreleased material every single month for only a few shekels a month. And if you'd like to additionally support Forkful of Noodles, my podcast tab with Table Talk, you can donate to the Patreon at patreon.com/KrishMohanHaHa. And for bonus videos, additional videos, or to download Forkful of Noodles and my comedy specials, you can go to gumroad.com/KrishMohanHaHa. Thank you for getting into